I heard a story about a woman recently, a woman who wanted to jump off of a plane. She is 74 years old and not at all adventurous, but something happened in her life that changed everything. She lost her husband to stomach cancer. He was gone in a matter of weeks, and all of a sudden, everything was different. They did everything together for more than 50 years that they spent together. He would drive her to the subway every morning and pick her up in the evening. He made her tea after dinner like clockwork. For months after his passing, she continually asked herself, couldn't I have done more? Couldn't I have found another doctor, another hospital, another way of prolonging his life, once so full and vibrant? She spent a long time in that paralyzing grief, and then a year into it, she got an idea. I'd like to go skydiving, she said. Her daughter was skeptical, to say the least, but this was her reasoning. Up there, she said, we will say hello, and I'll tell him that we'll meet again someday. It was her way of making peace, an aerial dance, her husband flying down from above as she made her way up from below, meeting for a brief second before parting again. I wonder if the disciples wished they could do the same as they recalled and retold the story of that night in the upper room. I wonder if they longed for a second meeting with Jesus, like the one they had in our gospel tonight, the moment right before their betrayal, right before his crucifixion, an intimate moment with their teacher and friend as a storm brewed right outside the upper room's doors. Now, the Gospel of John stands apart from the rest. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the Synoptic Gospels. They summarize in general outline many of the same events, following a similar timeline. John, however, John is a little different. Its stories stand apart. None of the other Gospels have the foot-washing scene at the Last Supper, this intimate moment between Jesus and his closest disciples and friends. This memory was passed down a different line, preserved by disciples through oral history as they told and retold the story. This moment, this crucial scene in John's gospel, feels like the eye of the storm. Jesus, the great teacher who became embroiled in arguments with lawyers and Pharisees alike, the one whom controversy followed him through Galilee and beyond, this wonder worker who drew crowds of lepers and centurions, tax collectors and prostitutes, those of high status as well as the lowest of the low, this Jesus stops for just a moment before the culminating act of his earthly ministry and simply shares a meal with his closest friends. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I wonder if, even after the resurrection, the disciples recall the scene with shame and regret. I wonder if, after everything took place, they didn't wake up in the middle of the night in cold sweats from time to time, wishing for a do-over, a chance to undo their denial, an opportunity to stand against mob and empire in solidarity with their teacher and friend. In life, we don't often get do-overs. We cannot go back and unsay the things we wish we hadn't said, undo the hurt we have caused or the hurt inflicted upon us, recover that which we've lost. Sometimes we find ourselves in seasons where it feels as though all we have left to enjoy are simply memories. Memories of those we have loved and lost. Memories of the love that once was before things fell apart. It is overwhelming to wrap our hearts and minds around such loss. It is nothing if not human to wish for a second chance, an opportunity to meet halfway, to mend the frayed edges of our lives and be together, be whole once again. Despite and in the face of this pain, however, we gather Sunday after Sunday, year after year, in the hope that there is one in whom relationships can and will be mended, one in whom hope for reconciliation and redemption is possible, one in whom the end is but the breaking in and breaking forth of new life. We gather Sunday after Sunday, year after year, in the hope of this future redemption, that even in the face of this pain, even though we know we will stumble and fall again, there will come a time when these trials will also pass, a moment when we will see each other face to face once again. It's a funny thing, this table we gather around Sunday after Sunday. Theologians have debated the true meaning of the elements, the bread and wine, for as long as they've had the wherewithal to argue about it. Is it truly the presence of Christ made manifest with us? The bread and wine we consume, his flesh, his blood? Or is it a memorial of that moment, as we each recall what it must have been like to sit at that first table as one of his closest friends? There is one other way to think of that moment, one that has less to do with what has happened in the past and more to do with what is yet to come. These elements are a remembrance in more ways than one. They are not just actualizing a past moment in history or simply a memory of that first supper scene. This bread and this wine symbolize Christ's broken body, his church, remembered, reconstituted, brought together in him across time and space. They witness to that reality when the body of Christ, when we gathered here today, will be made whole, put back together, and redeemed, restored, renewed. These elements do more than simply remember or recall that upper room scene. They also reconstitute a moment that has yet to be, that day when we will be gathered with the saints from east and west and every corner of the world, that day when, with knees bowed and tongues confessing, all creation will be made new, made whole, that moment when sin and death will be no more. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end, the gospel writer says. Having loved you, Christ's own kin, despite any of your faults, his very flesh and his very blood, he will love you to the very end. Friends, if you wish you could go back, if you're carrying shame, guilt, or the pangs of loss, take heart. Christ is there with you tonight. And Christ intends to be there with you on the other side. May you be blessed with the assurance of God's mercy, even in this, the darkest of nights. Amen.